us pray. God, we know that you speak to us in and through the word. You also speak to our hearts and our minds in different ways. Open us up to hear you, to hear what you would say to each one of us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, the Holy One. Amen. So for how many of you, when was the last time that you read anything in Acts? Has it been more than 6 months? Yeah, I see a lot of shaking heads. That's okay. It's interesting to see as a leader of the church what people read and what they don't read. A lot of times, I think we as Christians focus on the Gospels because that's where we have, you know, kind of the first person story of Jesus and all that Jesus did. And yet there's way more to scripture than just the Jesus stories, we'll say. We also have lots of examples of how people came to know who Jesus is and become followers of the way. And so since May has Mother's Day, I thought I'd continue with highlighting a woman who is named in scripture. And her name is Lydia. She, like I read, is from Thyatira, which is a city in the western province of Lydia, which is in Asia Minor, which is actually on the European continent. So she was one of the first converts to being a follower of Jesus in Europe. She, as we heard, was a seller of purple cloth, and she invited Paul and Silas and probably Luke and some of the others to stay with her at her home. I think as part of this, there needs to be a little bit of background information on how the Roman Empire worked with people who, I'll say, they had other religions than the emperor. So you heard in the scripture passage that Paul went out beyond the city gate to the river to look for a place of prayer. That's often how it worked in some of these regions around the Roman Empire, where people weren't allowed to necessarily gather together within the city gates, but they could find places outside of that to gather and worship and pray as they wanted to. And so in this province of Lydia, in the city of Thyatira, they did this, in Philippi, Lydia's from Thyatira, they did this along the river. And Lydia was very dedicated from what we understand. She was there probably several times a week, if not every day. She was a Gentile and converted to Judaism, which is why she was going out to a Jewish place of prayer outside of her city. And as we hear, Paul went looking for Jewish people. He went looking for people who already knew the Hebrew scriptures in the hopes that he could share with them the gospel, and then they would become followers of the way, followers of Jesus. He knew what he was doing. Right? Like he was about looking for people that may be more receptive than others. And so he would go first when he was traveling around to these places of prayer, to the synagogues, to look for and talk with people who may be receptive to hearing about Jesus the Messiah. And Lydia was one of those people. She obviously had a very strong relationship with God and was incredibly happy and joyful to hear about Christ and all that Christ had done for her just a very short time ago, right? And to me, it's interesting in so many different ways that Lydia was, I'm assuming, a single woman. She might have been a freed woman, someone who may have been like an indentured servant and then was free. Her husband may have died. We don't know. But what we do know is that she was a very competent and strong businesswoman. She sold things that royalty would have bought. Purple, back, 2,000 years ago, was a hard color to have. They didn't have synthetic dyes, right? Like we do. We can make all kinds of different colors now from synthetic materials, but they had to use things that they found in nature. And one of the ways that they did that was from a tiny little mollusk that would make the color indigo or purple. And it was incredibly expensive because it was dyed with, these Mediterranean mollusks. And at the same time, archaeologists are also realizing that there were different ways of dyeing cloth using plants and other materials. And so we're not sure exactly what kind of purple cloth Lydia was selling, but we know that she did well enough for herself to have people work for her, to have a house, and to be able to invite people to her house and be provided for. She was able to show hospitality based on the gifts that God had given her and how she used them in many ways for God's glory. And we don't necessarily know how long that this conversion took, right? Scripture tells us that on one Sabbath day, Lydia went to the river shore. Like I said, that had been designated by the Roman authorities as a place of prayer and worship for the Jews. And there she met Paul and Silas, and she accepted their words and became a believer. And then she made a confession of faith and was like, yes, I believe. And oh, since you're going to be staying here for a while, why don't you come and stay with me? I would be happy to put you up. How many people, if they met someone random along a river, would then invite them back to their house? I see no hands. This is another thing that is very different in terms of culture between us and 2,000 years ago. Hospitality was vital to who these people were and how they interacted with others. And so if someone was helpful to you or needed a place to stay, you invited them to your home in the hopes that, if you were traveling somewhere and needed a place to stay, that you would also be given the same grace and hospitality. And so Lydia did this, and they stayed with her. And as Paul and Silas do, they got into trouble, right? They brushed up against the law and got thrown in prison. And in this time, Lydia essentially began to start a house church. She invited the followers of Jesus to her home. They they were present there, and they prayed, I'm sure, for Paul and Silas to be safe and to eventually get out of prison. And then once they did, they went back to her house, and she provided hospitality for them. I think part of what is interesting to me about many of these what I'll call conversion or transformation stories in scripture is that there's a big change, but not a big change, if that makes sense. Lydia continued to do all that she had done before, but she had a new partner in this. She had Jesus the Christ as her partner, and she had a new purpose, right, which was to serve him. And she hopefully had, you know, a new kind of satisfaction or a definition of success in terms of seeking to be effective and hospitable and compassionate on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and in order to glorify God. What she did in a lot of ways was the same, but why she did it was very different. And her career didn't hinder her from sharing who she was and sharing the gospel. And I'm sure her friends probably weren't all that surprised, considering she had, you know, essentially converted to Judaism and then converted or decided to follow Jesus the Messiah. As an extension in some ways of the Jewish faith. So I wonder for us, how has our faith, how has our conversion, whenever that happened, how did that change us? How did it change our perspective? How did it give us a new purpose? And I think probably for many of us here, we've been Christians for a long time. Or I hope so, anyway. We can forget why we do what we do. We can forget our motivation if we're not spending time with Jesus in lots of different ways. So I'm wondering for us as we move forward into, I'll say, the rest of May and June and the summer, and it's busy and we're traveling and, you know, there's lots happening in the summertime. I wonder if this is an invitation for all of us to think about how we can stay connected to Christ and how we can offer ourselves to others with hospitality and invite them in to what we know. Right, and who we know. Daniel Wilt, who's an ordained elder in our conference, he and Mindy Gopnauer were kind of summing up annual conference for us yesterday in our closing worship. And unfortunately, he went to a restaurant in Williamsport, and the server said to him, "Are you one of those church people?" Because apparently there were a couple people that had walked to a restaurant with their name tags still on and had been incredibly rude to people, specifically the server. Apparently the server was yelled at. We were not good witnesses of the gospel and love of Jesus Christ in that moment. And in all honesty, servers do not like to work on Sundays immediately after worship, because we are not apparently kind people. So it's these kind of things, right? Like, how are we in the world? It's not like, setting the world on fire for Jesus. That is not often what God calls us to do. I generally run from fire, or, you know, it's not something that I'm looking to do, right? Like, I'm not looking to set the world on fire for Jesus, but I do want people to know the love and grace of the one who I worship. And part of that is very much how we treat others and the hospitality that we extend at all times. And unfortunately, we as the Susquehanna Conference, for that one server, did not make a very good impression. And I don't know how many other stories there might be that are very similar to that around the Williamsport area. How we treat people, how we offer hospitality, and not just in, oh, please come to my home, but how we welcome people that we talk to all the time, you know, that we encounter, whether it's in the grocery store, in a restaurant, wherever we are called to be the light and life of Christ. And part of that is knowing how we are receptive and how we have been transformed by the gospel. If we held up a mirror, all of us would fall short of the glory of God. And yet, also, if we hold up that mirror, are we the same person with the same attitudes that we were a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago? If the answer to that is yes, I'm concerned. Because that means that we are not continuing to transform into the likeness of God. One of the things that we talk about, especially in our Wesleyan tradition, is that we every day we work out our salvation. It is not a once and done thing. If that's what you're looking for, there are other churches and other places that you can go. We are to work out our salvation every day, looking to how God and the Holy Spirit is transforming us. Sanctifying us is the word that we use in our Wesleyan tradition. How are we becoming more holy? It's a challenge. It's a beautiful challenge. And it's also terrifying. It's also freeing. We have to give up some things that maybe we don't want to give up. We have to pick up some things that maybe we don't want to pick up, whatever they might be. So as we go about our next week, as we go about our lives, Lydia can give us a good example of how we're called to be. Of being hospitable, of being kind and generous, of being God's hands and feet without beating someone over the head with the Bible. Speaking how God has transformed us is a most effective witness. And then having our actions be in alignment with the words that we're speaking. As the world becomes more and more secular, we have even that much more responsibility to be the light and life of Christ. To know when to speak and know when to be silent, to know when to give a word of encouragement, maybe to know when to give a word of correction, but all of it is in the spirit of love and grace that Jesus tells us about. Yeah, our opportunity for growth this week to really reflect, especially that second question, how has the good news changed my actions and increased my hospitality towards others? May God bless us with a transformed heart and a renewed sense of calling to who each one of us have been created to be. Amen. Now it is time for our offering.